Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be discussing education, but we are going to be focusing on boys. Why? It seems as if, which actually is nothing new, that boys have a challenge when it comes to getting involved in education, and especially when they get into the high school arena, it can be a nightmare. Many parents get so frustrated, they just don't know what to do. Well, there are a couple of women that decided that they were going to address this issue, and they put together a publication, Jump Starting Boys, to help your reluctant learner find success in school and life. And a lot of tips and suggestions are in this book. So if you know of anyone that's dealing with the challenge of a boy in school not being able to maintain his focus, well, we're going to give you some insights into, one, why that happens, why boys are different from girls in the way that they think, and also that there are ways of working with this. I'm going to welcome to the airwaves Pam Withers. And Pam, you're where in Canada?
I am in Vancouver, Canada, on the West Coast.
Well, it's a delight having you as a guest. Now, you have been writing books for teenage boys for a long time. You've put out a series of them, and they're fiction. And you also are very much involved in supporting literacy with kids overall with keenreaders.com, and that's spelled K-E-E-N, readers.com. Now, you and Cynthia Gill, who has been a high school teacher for over 30 years, got together to put this book out there to assist parents. How did the two of you connect? She's a world traveler. She's been involved in education in a much different way than you have. What brought the two of you together?
Well, she's my older sister.
Well, that's a good reason that these bust it together. Oh, so, my goodness, your older sister.
She's my big, bossier, smarter, better-looking older sister. So we were stuck in a car for 6 hours together on our way to a family funeral, and we began to discuss what we had in common, which was raising boys. And we discovered that we shared a passion for getting boys to read and helping them be successful in life. So we said, why don't we write a book on that? We said that so naively.
So naively. Now, how long did it take you to put all of this material together?
It was supposed to be an 8-month project, and it turned into a 2-year labor of love.
2 years to put this together. Well, I can understand why it would take that much time, because, one, you did a lot of research. And two, you've given some pretty potent, powerful stories in here about young boys. Now, I know that boys think so much differently than girls, and we can go into so many different aspects intellectually, but I really wanted to bring forth something that is significant in your book. And I find even among teachers there's not agreement on this, but I am so supportive of it because I read 400 to 600 books a year because of this radio show, and that's my choice. Nobody's told me to do it. I do it on my own. So for me, reading has always been a passion. From as far back as I can remember, I've always loved books. But a lot of people don't. And literacy is so important. And being able to read and write well is so important. And you and your sister emphasize this. Why do you think we have gotten so far removed from this?
From reading and writing?
Mm-hmm.
It tends to happen around fourth grade. There's something actually called the fourth grade slump, And that's because that's the stage at which we go from learning to read to reading to learn, which means kids have to suddenly jump from sounding out words to understanding them in context in ever more difficult books. So if they're struggling at all around fourth grade, they get left in the dust, but they learn to fake it for a while, and then it becomes such a gap that they have difficulty catching up, so they develop attitude and they decide school or reading aren't for them. And that's what we need to stop. They need some extra support, especially boys, because there's actually a physical brain lag that lasts from toddlerhood to the mid-teens specific to language. And we all accept that when we're hanging around a playground watching our toddlers play, that girls are ahead of boys on language. What we don't know is that that carries on right into high school. And it's easily surmountable if we give them some extra support and do things like read to them for 15 minutes each day, get them tutors if they need to, but mostly just monitor so that they aren't dropping. Mm-hmm. There's actually a statistic that kids go from reading every 40% of kids read every day up till the age of 10, and then that suddenly drops to 29%.
I think of Dr. Ben Carson, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal neurological specialist. The man is just brilliant. And I remember when I saw the movie on his life and how as a young black man, his mom was single. He really didn't have much in the way of male role models in his life. And his mother couldn't read. She couldn't read at all. But she demanded of him and his brother, once she became aware of how important reading was, she went to work. She worked as a maid. She worked, that's the only way she could make a living. And she went to work for a professor. And when she saw his library, and he ended up teaching her how to read, the professor did, I believe. But wow. This is, he really hated reading. And I heard an interview with him. He said, I just hated reading, but my mother demanded no television, because television, I guess this was in the 50s or 60s, and his mother demanded that the television be turned off because of this professor that she was associated with. She said, you are going to read. And she forced him to read, and he got involved in science. He got involved in math, and he was heading in a direction that sadly a lot of young males go into. I don't care what their ethnicity is, they will follow. And that is a very destructive patterning. But because of his mother's insistence and not letting him watch television, by golly, it turned him around. And he's world renowned for his medical work. But he said it was because of his mother. So he really didn't even have good male role models, which is something that you speak of in your book.
I like to tell the story of the woman, the mother who went to a literacy expert and said, I read to my son and my daughter exactly the same amount of time. My daughter is a keen reader. My son is a reluctant reader. Why? And the literacy expert said, does your husband read to your son? Oh, no, he doesn't have the time. That's your answer, he said. So people underestimate the role model factor. It doesn't have to be a dad. It can be an uncle, a granddad, or even better yet, it can be the boy down the block that you pay or bake cookies for to be a reading buddy to your son. There's a study that shows that with just 5 hours of time with a reading buddy, kids were gaining the equivalent of a year and a half in reading abilities.
Amazing. Amazing. And I like how in your book you say tackling boys' issues helps girls too. One of the things that I have been very much aware of, and I've been aware of this for many years, when it comes to the male thinking, they really do need a role model. And as a counselor, I have met with so many single moms, and they can't understand why they're not able to, let's say, reach their sons. And I'll say, because they think differently than you do. They need to have a male role model, and you need to allow that. And I'll go in and explain how old cultures the boys usually were removed from the women's environment by the men of the tribe so that they could learn and develop the disciplines to fulfill the role that they needed to fulfill in life. And in our world, and in our modern world today, it's almost like we're trying to homogenize everything. And so many times women have a difficult understanding of this, and that's one of the things that I really think is great about your book, is emphasizing the importance of male role models.
Yep, it's so incredibly important. Kids, the whole gender role model factor starts at the age of 3, but it really ramps up in adolescence, and single mothers, smart single mothers, recognize this and find them a role model, whether it's an uncle or a neighborhood friend or a program such as Big Brother. Big Brothers did a study and found that kids with mentors had more confidence in their schoolwork, got along better with their families, and were less likely to skip school or take up alcohol or drugs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. And I think that the story that you have in the book about a dad who found that there was problems with his son, started taking his son with him on his truck route. I thought that was so significant. And he'd pick up the kid after school and say, come on, we're going to go. And so the kid was exposed, number one, to his father on a regular basis. Number two, his dad would talk to him about work. Number three, he saw his father in action by his behaviors, et cetera. And number four, they developed a relationship that wasn't going to happen any other way because of the involvement. And
yep.
His son turned around, and they started talking about deeper issues like why education wasn't important or other things. And this made such a difference in this young boy's life. This is vitally important.
That's right. And, you know, it probably wasn't coincidental that they were driving, because one thing women don't understand about boys sometimes is that they don't like to make eye contact while they're talking, and so car rides are sometimes the best times to communicate with them because they don't have to look over at you. I often joke that moms need to pretend that they are cultural anthropologists parachuted into an island, and they have to use their best cultural sensitivity to figure out how to communicate with these aliens, which are boys, because boys' silence is often processing time, and yet is interpreted by women as defiance. And boy culture uses fewer words. One-word answers are not sassing. They're just the way boys work. And boys fake confidence better. Studies show that they have more academic self-esteem than girls, even when they are doing less well than girls. That's called cockiness or bravado.
Mm-hmm. They fake it.
So we need to guard for that. We need to know that to offer help in a way that doesn't lose him face. We need to reinforce for effort rather than talent. And also studies show that if you tell kids that their brain is a muscle and that if you need to train that muscle, if they're told that, they actually do better.
I really like that statement. One of the failings I feel in the educational system today is setting a higher standard for students. And there's been a number of movies that have been made about those teachers that set a higher standard. And I also know a teacher. She's retired now. And Faye worked in the Virginia school system for a number of years, and she worked with students that had learning disabilities. She said, I often was literally tossed the dregs of students, and most of them were boys. And she had this one kid that was in his teens, a high school kid, and he was just not wanting to do anything. He was being totally defiant. Well, they had changed the law in Virginia at this particular time, stating that the students to graduate from high school had to meet certain criteria. Now, this boy was bright. In fact, he was brilliant. And he was being very defiant, And she said to herself, I have to figure out a way to get to this kid. So she engaged him in conversation, and she found that he absolutely had a passion for fast cars. Anything that went 120, 150, 500 miles an hour, man, that's really where he was interested. She said, okay, I'll make a deal with you, because these are the facts. You are not going to graduate from high school if you do not have the academic level. We have exactly XYZ amount of time to do this in. I'll make a deal with you. Are you interested? And the kid looked at her and he said, yeah. Okay. So what she did, she said, I will get you materials that are about the thing you love the most. But you must read them and you must give me a report, a written report on them. And she stated the time, specificity, all of that. And do you know that she did go out, she got books from the library, et cetera, that were on the subject matter that he loved. He graduated with an A.
she was right on the button.
Absolutely. She said, this boy was being defiant, but when I got him material on the subject matter he loved, and you bring that out in your book, this is something that I think our system is missing. Because there are young men, and I think of my own brother, that was, he never graduated from high school, and part of it was because there was a lack of understanding on the part of certain members of family. He was not an academic student. He was one that liked to work with his hands. He took after my grandfather. He wanted to make things. This is where he belonged, the environment he belonged in, and it was not a negative environment. And lots of times people will want to put edicts or demands of a level that it just doesn't make sense. Not everybody's meant to be an academic individual to go and to be into science. They should learn about math and science, but maybe they're going to be happy working on cars, but they're going to need this. They're going to need this education to be able to do this.
Absolutely true. And books on hobbies are sometimes the best ways to kickstart a reluctant reader. And educated women tend to overpush fiction, and they tend to communicate to kids that if they're not reading fiction or classics, that they're not really reading. And yet, if they're reading a manual on how to do skateboard tricks, that is reading.
Yes.
You know, only 20% of males like fiction when they're adults, so why do we expect boys to be so different? The number one favorite book of boys is the Guinness Book of World Records. Go get it for your kids.
Oh, I agree. And it's also pictures. This is something that there's a lot of misunderstanding about because we all learn differently. And I know I'm a very visual person, but I just have, like I said, a passion for reading. And that's what we want to encourage our children to do. We want to encourage them to delight in going to the library and picking out a book maybe on snails or slugs. I mean, boys will, we girls, I can remember as a kid, boys doing things and being interested in things that as a female, you've got to be kidding. I really am not interested in that. Don't even bother me with that. And that is a disadvantage sometimes that female teachers will have, won't they, when it comes to dealing with boys. And we have a preponderance of female teachers. Now, being a female, I know I can say this, and I might get slam dunked by someone, but it definitely is a disadvantage. We need male teachers, too.
You know what, though? The studies show that, it's elementary schools are 85% female teachers, and yes, we need more teachers, and there's a wonderful site called menteach.org that encourages and supports female teachers. But in fact, what's even more important is that teachers, whether they be male or female, use more kinesthetic approach to teaching, which means more field trips, more skits, letting kids
Pam, we're having problems with her telephone line. Thank you. Well, okay, my engineer, we were having some problems with Pam's telephone line. She started getting very garbled. So whatever is interfering on that line. We're going to reconnect with her right away. Literacy, writing, reading, all of this is so important. And in today's world, and this is one of the things that's brought out in the book Jumpstarting Boys. And the reason we're focusing on boys is because they have a different processing that they utilize to learn. And they're the ones that get antsy. They're the ones that so often are diagnosed with attention learning deficit and this, that, or the other. And I think, and this has been my observation, that many times this evolves because we... Oh, wonderful. Pam, I was just talking about how so many times, and I know that because of the line, something happened to our telephone line where you're coming across garbled. So many times, as you were saying, that when we can encourage kids to get involved in art, when we can encourage the writing, when we can work from a positioning of their interest areas and work with pictures and work with something like this, it creates an interest, a curiosity. Boys are naturally more competitive. And in so many of the school systems, we have gone into a level of technology. And I think boys really, really get into computers. I know some girls, but in my observation, and perhaps I'm wrong, the guys really relish this. They like getting, I know my husband is this way. He wants to explain why something works and all this other stuff. And I'll go, please, just show me the button to push. I really could care less how this works. I just want it to work. Now, is this more common? I mean, is this something that we need to encourage boys to become more the scientists, more the inventors? We need to encourage girls, too. Science and math is extremely important. But this is not atypical, is it?
No, I think boys do tend to like technology, but I think, you know, no matter what a child's interest is, you just need to encourage them for their effort, and you need to try to connect that with reading. So, you know, if whether that's a matter of reading e-books or whether that's a matter of finding books on the technology that will turn them on.
Let's talk about the attention learning deficit. And I found it just fascinating how you have not only listed that, but also some other labels, and I'll use that with purpose, of a different learning dysfunction that we have discovered. Dyslexia is one. I know of someone that had a daughter that had such severe dyslexia, it took her 10 times longer to learn something than anybody else. But this young woman has graduated from college and was just brilliant when it came to doing things like photography and other items. And with boys, they're labeled with these disorders more than girls are. Why?
I think that there's an intolerance for boys fidgeting, and what some people don't understand is that some kids need to fidget in order to concentrate. It literally accesses a part in their brain that allows them to concentrate better. It literally accesses a physical motor memory that facilitates focusing. So you should not only allow boys to fidget, but you should encourage them to fidget by maybe letting them play with Lego or clay or Play-Doh, building something that has to do with what you're reading about while you're reading to them. As long as they're listening to you, don't worry about the fact that they're fidgeting. I know one dad who likes to read to his son while his son is jumping on the trampoline. So I think that if we're intolerant of fidgeting, we don't understand that the fidgeting actually helps them focus sometimes. And so, yes, I believe that boys are overdiagnosed with these, what I call alphabet soup list of, learning disabilities, LD, ADD, ADHD. But it's wise to get them tested if you're concerned, but you also need to be careful in being aware that it is often overdiagnosed, and we do tend to maybe rely too much on drugs and not enough on just giving them the attention and the support that they need.
Well, I think physical activity is so important, and I know of a teacher in New York. In fact, she's going to be coming up on my show this month. She has developed games that are on floor mats, and it has been just marvelous to watch how both the girls and the boys, when they play the games, she's teaching them mathematics with these floor mats. She said the kids are just thrilled, and the boys especially get excited because they are moving. And I think children naturally want to move. This is part of their development. And this is something that has even been associated with cursory writing. It's been shown that when children learn how to write, it can be very difficult, but they learn how to do it. It enhances the brain activity. When they're playing dodgeball, when they're jumping rope, when they're climbing trees, when they're doing things, all of this is so important. And we have become so far removed from that. And I really think that the fidgeting is healthy. I think we need to say, okay, break time, there you go. I've known of male teachers that with the boys, they'll say, okay, you have to run around the track to get rid of some of the energy. They come back in, and all of a sudden, they're leveled out. So this physical activity that you bring focus on is very, very good. And I think that that is something that supports them. And anymore, I mean, it used to be kids could go out and play. Moms would say, go out and play. Don't come until the sun goes down or whatever. It was go out and do something. Make something up. Play games. Invent things. Don't bother me. I'm busy. I got to clean the house. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do the other. You entertain yourself. And many times they would. In fact, that had evolved a creative side of them that would otherwise never have been developed.
Absolutely true. Kids need quiet downtime in order to develop their imagination, and they don't have enough of that these days. You know, too often screens are used as a babysitter. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no more than 2 hours per day of screen time for kids two and over, and zero screen time for kids under the age of two. The norm these days is four times that. And screen time promotes aggression, obesity, and impulsivity. And it shows that, you know, families that have a blackout on media time over dinner, where they actually discuss and come together as a family over dinner, those kids get better grades.
Yes, they do. And I've known of some families that have done exactly that. In fact, the older members of the family will say, okay, I collect everybody's cell phones. I want to see them all off. They're all going to be put in a basket over here. You'll pick them up when we finish with whatever we're doing. But everything's turned off. TV's turned off. Maybe they have music playing in the background or something like that. But no visual stuff, no texting. And some of the younger people will get messed. They say, this is the way it's going to be. And believe it or not, it just makes such a difference. And I really like the idea of the media blackout. I think that is so important.
That's right. And you, instead of, you know, you've got to have this aspect of do what I do, not what I say. So look at what you are modeling yourself before you start trotting out the rules and the cutbacks. Another thing is that in our household, we had very strict rules on media time when my son was young. But we allowed him to earn some screen time by reading, and he would have to read 1 hour to earn half an hour of extra screen time, because that was our way of letting him know that we felt reading was twice as important as screen time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you have so much fabulous material in your book, and what I like is that any mom, any dad can read this, and it will really assist them. And I think if there is a couple that they're saying, I just don't know what to do, we get so anxious, they need to realize that they do have to be involved with a youngster's education. And school, well, a school is not a babysitter. And I think that's very important, because I think too many times it's gotten to that presumption. Schools are babysitters. Once they're there, they're supposed to take care of everything. As a society, I think we need to realize there's multiple levels here that go into the grooming of a youngster. And I just think you and your sister have done an incredibly fine job with this. And I think there's so many wonderful suggestions in the book that just are so down to earth and practical, and the references that you give of different places to go to are awesome. What is your website that people can check out?
My personal website is pamwithers.com, and that talks about the 15 books that I've written that are particularly popular with boys, as well as jump starting. I used to run keenreaders.org, but that is it has now gone out of function, but it is a great archive of material.
Wonderful. All right. Go to pamwithers.com, W-I-T-H-E-R-S is the correct spelling of her last name. Pam, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime, or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you would like to chat with me today is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then after that, sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Well, there's just a little bit of bits and pieces of information that I wanted to share with you today. One is about doctors. Now, laparoscopic surgery. This is something that has been utilized more and more as the years have gone by. It's an awesome achievement because it creates such a tiny scar and it involves such a level of safety. But do you know what? They found that doctors, when they were going through the process of learning how to do this, have better coordination if they play video games at least 3 hours a week. And they found that the surgeons that played the video games, because you have to operate the handles, the mouse, whatever implement it is that's going to allow you to play the game on the screen. And this is according to a 2003 study. Those surgeons that played the video games had 37% fewer errors and worked 27% faster when they did these video games. Now, this isn't unlike what they discovered with young men and women that wanted to become pilots, because in today's world, there's a very complex system that's right in front of you, and you have to be able to see it, and the brain, eye coordination, hand coordination, the manipulation of this big machine with just a few levers, all of this is very complementary to the video game attribute, to being able to play it and being very good at it. And it's amazing how something that can be a detriment if you do too much of it, when you do work with it, it can be an asset because it enables the brain to work. In fact, a lot of children, they're finding, that have very, very bad habits of being totally scattered. They're just almost like they're fractured. They're going in so many different directions. They drive everybody nuts. Well, there were some doctors that I interviewed, and this was in the year 2000, 2001. And they had discovered, they were in San Diego, that they could have a youngster that would literally drive you nuts within 5 or 10 minutes. One, they were extremely intelligent children, but two, the activity of the brain was working at such a speed, but it was disjointed. So when they used video games, it was able to bring a focus. These children were able to sit at a video game, focus and concentrate, and they used it for just a certain amount of time. Eventually, they were able, through certain video games, to engage the brain in a more coordinated patterning, and a lot of their discordant behavior disappeared. And I think there's so much we don't know about the brain. And this is something that what we were discussing in the first part of the show with Cynthia is that reading requires focus. It requires eye movement and following things just like writing does. And so consequently, it engages the brain in a different way. And this is all very important, plus physical activity. It really does make a difference. But you know what? There are so many things that we forget, that we don't realize, especially as we get older, we just assume what we do is just going to come naturally to someone else. But we have to remember, as adults, we've gone through a lot of processes of experiences and making evaluations and even training ourselves to do certain things. Well, it is just absolutely something. Also, I wanted to share another story with you regarding how a game saved a man's life. Now, the person's name was Georgie Fletcher. He hadn't signed on to play, or excuse me, Georgie hadn't signed on to play a mobile game, Words with Friends. She said if she had not signed on to play with this game, her husband, Simon, probably would have died. Now, this is the story. She lives in Australia. She struck up a friendship with someone who was in a chat room, and there was an opponent, she did every once in a while, whose name was Beth, who lived in Missouri. Now, Georgie told Beth that Simon hadn't been feeling well, and Beth relayed the symptoms of what Georgie was describing. Now, you have to remember, Georgie's in Australia, Beth is in Missouri. She relayed the symptoms to her husband, Larry. He's a doctor. And because of what was going on and all of this chatting that was happening, and again, it was all started because of a game that these two ladies were doing together. When this doctor found out what he did, he said, she needs to take her husband to the emergency room immediately. And it was real good advice. Why? Because the doctors, in examining George's husband, found a 90% blockage near his heart that if it had not been taken care of, would have been fatal. So these things, it's amazing. A video game of a type that people in different parts of the world are playing, conversations going on, a little chatting here, a little chatting there, and something's paid attention to that otherwise might have been ignored because Georgia didn't have the knowledge. Beth didn't have the knowledge, but Beth's husband did. Isn't it amazing how communication sets us up for opportunity to make a difference, to create a change that we otherwise wouldn't have thought possible? Donna Sebo here. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, so much in common conversation is about obesity, how the people in the United States are getting rounder and rounder, men and women both. And I came across some interesting information, and this is on daily rations for different cultures. And I thought, I wonder how we would fare on these rations today. Now, in World War II, the government established rations and the amounts that you could have. And those of us that have family members that survived the war, and they were given coupons for butter and for this and for that, and everything was very restricted. Now, for a British civilian during World War II, you had 6 ounces of ham that was allowed, 6 ounces of bacon, 4 ounces of lard, 3 ounces of some kind of meat, 2.3 ounces of sugar, 5 ounces of sweets, 25.25 ounce of jam, and 3 ounces of butter, 3 ounces of cheese, and 3 ounces of tea leaves. Now, these lists reflected daily allotments. Now, the rations were really handed out on a weekly or a monthly basis. Now, think about that. A monthly basis. That's how tight things were. When I went to the former Soviet Union in 1992 on a business trip, I had the opportunity to interview a number of people. Now, these people in Russia were in desperate situations. They could not get food. In many parts of the former Soviet Union, you couldn't get butter. There was just one little location. They didn't even have trucks to transport food from point A to point Z, especially refrigerated trucks. During our time over there, we saw one refrigerated truck. And many places we went to, we were not served butter. There was not any milk, quote unquote. And it was just a phenomena. They couldn't get the goods from point A to point Z. And so many times there was a bartering arrangement that was done during people in the different sections of the former Soviet Union. And whenever they'd go to the store, if there was all kinds of shoes, they would try to get as many shoes as they could, and then they would share what they had with their neighbors. And it was really quite an awesome experience to go to. And that wasn't that long ago. That was in 1992, and things were still going on in that manner up until 2000, and I think in many areas they are still doing the same thing. There are shortages, and we don't hear about this stuff. And that's why when we came back to this country, I walked into a Kmart, I walked into stores, and I just saw the abundance of choice that we have. And I thought how very, very fortunate we are in this country to be able to have choices. And I know that there was a friend of mine who had been born and raised in Estonia, and she said to me one day, and I was stunned at her remark, we have too many choices in this country, too many choices. Would you rather have too many or not any? I'll take the too many. Thank you very much. I know we've got a caller on the line. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking your call in just a moment. I'll be right with you. We're going to take a break for just a bit here. We'll be right back, 888-627-6008. Don't go away.
too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. We're going to go directly to our caller. And if you wanted to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. And thank you for being so patient.
Hi, Donna.
Who am I speaking with?
Thank you. Hi, my name's Marcy.
And where are you calling in from, Marcy?
Graham, Washington.
Wonderful. I'm delighted that you're with us today. I know the weather is fabulous. It's just absolutely glorious. I hope you have the opportunity to enjoy it to the fullest. Let me give you information first of all. You've got to take care of the paperwork.
Okay.
I know it's maddening, but you must take care of it. It is so important that you get things in order, and there's something here with money that is related to the paperwork, and it sort of intimidates you, and I don't know exactly what I'm looking at. I don't know if it is something you're wanting to buy or if it is something that needs to be reevaluated, like insurance. I honestly don't know. All I am aware of is you've got to take care of the paperwork. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the month of November. Now, it's interesting that I'm jumping forward to November because you're going to have your hands full. You've got a lot going on. There's a lot of things that you must pay attention to. November, apparently, it's a feeling as if external circumstances are really pressing you down. And you just need to have some quiet time where you can look at the factor of change that is evolving for you and take a positioning of preparation so that you can move into the year 2014 with a sense of solidarity and an I can shift attitude. Now, I want you to be able to talk to people that you trust that really have a good background in an area of professional expertise, because apparently there is a shift in a job environment that you're going to find that you must make, and this shift is going to be very positive for you, but if you're going to feel overwhelmed, but if you talk to someone that really has an understanding of how to approach the shift, and maybe you have to take an additional class or two, but if you have someone that's behind you that it can help you make the shift and supports you, then you're going to be able to go through it. And 2014 is going to be a gangbuster year. But I just feel it right in the pit of my stomach. I feel like I can hardly breathe, and I'm all tied up in knots. So I don't want you to have to go through that in a major way. I want you to know it's not a bad thing. It is a shift. It is a change, but it is meant to move you forward, not backward. So be alert, be aware, don't be afraid to reach out for help, and know
that you will be able to make the shift and cross the bridge over into 2014 successfully, and you won't lose any financial footing. What question do you have for me today, Kay?
Wow, that sounds kind of scary. Well, I guess I was wondering, I have a legal, I was going to see an attorney on Thursday about a legal situation, and I was wondering if it was going to be a positive
Well, without knowing the details, I would say you must have all of your material together. You must deal with the facts. You cannot put any emotion into this, even though their emotion might be there. And you're making a wise move by talking to an attorney. However, you need to make sure that you have an attorney that suits the case. For example, if you have medical malpractice, you're not going to go to a real estate attorney. And you need to be clear about what your needs are. And when you meet with the attorney in the initial consultation, there should be no charge whatsoever. And you should be able to interview them to find out if they are suitable. You need to find out if they have experience in this area. And I would say, if not, then ask them if they can refer you to someone who does. You really need to have someone that is knowledgeable. You don't want someone that just came out of law school.
Okay.
And that you need to be able to interview them, whatever this is relating to, my dear.
Okay. Well, and what you said earlier, I'm on Social Security disability. Do you see that changing in November for me?
It might be able to change. I think that you are actually going to be able to build a business of your own, even though you have been in this Social Security disability positioning. And I think you could actually triple your income within 2 years. And that is not something that should be fearful to you at all. And that would be something that you'd be very grateful for. But it is going to be something specifically that you will know that you can do. And the utilization of technology is going to allow you to have that financial freedom.
Okay, so it's really a good change for me then on November. It's just going to be a little overwhelming.
Yes, and that's where you'll need to talk to someone. There is going to be, I think, an educational opportunity that will show you, and that will take risk on your part. So you will need to get out of the security net thinking and realize that you're going to be moving forward into something that will really grow for you. And I think that's positive. I don't see that as a negative.
Okay. Is it going to be my choice to do this, or is it something I'm going to be kind of pushed into?
I think it's going to be both. I think you're going to do it because you really want to be financially more comfortable.
Okay, well, that sounds good, I think. Sounds a little overwhelming, but, well, thank you. I think that
You're very welcome, Marcy. Remember, growth is always something that causes us concern. We all make choices, and you're going to make choices to move forward. And it's no longer looking at yourself as disabled, looking at yourself as a person that may have to do things differently, but being able to stand on your own financial feet. It's going to be very liberating. It brings with it challenges because it's just what comes with the turf.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Donna.
You are very welcome. You enjoy this gorgeous day that we have in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay,
this
thank
is Donna
you. Siebel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're just about out of time. It's so important for us to realize that we need to invest in ourselves. Literacy applies to all of us, and none of us are going to be able to move forward in life without having risks and taking on challenges. And being open to learning is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself. A little scary sometimes? Absolutely. And you may find some things you definitely don't like. That's cool. But you move on, and you move forward. And that is the grace of life, you have the choice of doing exactly that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is your joy, your right, your privilege. Use it. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on this radio station, bbsradio.com. We're talking about bird medicine tomorrow. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.